You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz, and we're talking about a piece from the Tie called How Couch Jams Collective is Bringing Down the House. If you don't know, Couch Jams creates an inclusive space for young racialized musicians and their fans. We're going to learn all about it, so we are now speaking to the writer, specifically culture writer, Jeevan Sangha, who's going to tell us all about it. Jeevan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So for folks who aren't familiar, you know, what is Couch Jams and how did it get started?
Yeah, so Couch Jams is a BIPOC music collective based out of Vancouver. It kind of started with the founder, Matt Yang, who is a young musician himself. He went to Capilano for music school and he just started to notice that there were a lot of gaps in the kind of programming that was available for artists in Vancouver, and namely young racialized artists. There were a lot of spaces that didn't feel welcome. There was a lack of spaces and venues in general that are accessible to artists, regardless of their race. But then when you factor in, race and age and all these other things, the barriers seem to increase. And so, he and some friends kind of just started putting on the odd show or two in the city. And when he noticed it's starting to build and starting to get some more momentum, it became something much bigger. And so now it looks like a bunch of different kinds of programming, whether it's an open mic night at Vancouver Black Library in Chinatown or full-on showcases at the Cobalt or Annex Theater. They're basically just building programming that feels representative of what they want to see in the city.
And let's talk about, what are some of the challenges that racialized artists, particularly in our city, are dealing with? What are the barriers that are holding people back?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with access. So I think there are a lot of spaces that, in terms of performance space, it seems as though white artists tend to have more priority in those spaces, or maybe have just been connected to those spaces for longer. So there are a lot of young racialized people who, maybe they're immigrants, maybe they grew up outside of the Vancouver core, maybe their first language is in English, who are finding it harder to just land in those spaces. They don't have the same natural connections that another person might have, whether it's based on their race or their socioeconomic status or their gender. So I think, when you don't have, when you don't know someone who's on city council who can get a permit passed quicker, or when you don't know someone who has access to these spaces, you don't know the promoter there, or maybe they're not interested in programming a certain genre of music, it can make it really tough to actually find spaces in the city. And why that's so important for artists is, you need to be able to perform to, one, get better. You don't get better unless you can perform. But two, also ideally make money and see yourself living as an artist. Art and creativity is central to any city, but also to just life in society. And so not having access to that can feel really difficult.
Mm-hmm. And artists play such an important role, especially in a city. It really adds to the vibe. And I find with Vancouver, this is no secret, it is a very expensive city, no doubt. And how much of that is a factor for a lot of these artists that makes it so much harder to really thrive?
Yeah, it's a huge factor. We mentioned it in the piece, but venues themselves are hard to find. There's a handful that are there that are actively, programming artists. But then also, there might be a venue where a young artist might want to do a show, but the booking fee is too much. If you want to do I feel like for a night, based on some of the conversations we had for the piece, about $500 to $1,500 a night. That's just base level rental fee for the space. There could be additional costs on top of that, including equipment, transport, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you're a young kid who's just into creating music and wants to share that with other people, but you maybe are a student, you work part-time, you aren't settled in your career, you don't have a ton of disposable income a vast majority of the city right now, given how expensive it is, you mentioned, that can be really, really daunting, and it can make it difficult to even see it feasible for you to put on a show. Let alone even, if you want to take the public route, let's say you want to do a show in the park, which Couch Jams, kind of started off doing public events, outdoor events, because it was just when restrictions around the pandemic were starting to lift and you could gather outside. There's still really complex permitting processes. There's no noise bylaws. You have to plan things weeks and weeks and weeks in advance instead of, just kind of spontaneously creating something. So I think that those are all things that pose barriers for artists who are trying to create a sort of vibrant musical and artistic scene, mm-hmm. one that is at least more vibrant than what they see right now.
And I know that you spoke to a Navreet Dhaliwal, music programmer and founder of Face the Music Entertainment. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what she does and kind of what does she see on the ground in her experience?
Yeah, so Navreet is a great friend, and she had mentioned she works with Face the Music Entertainment. She's the founder, and basically they work to do diverse programming across the city. And I think what she's seeing is, like, a lot more difficulty creating diverse programming in the city. A part of that is cost. A part of that is language. I mean, when you're looking at grant funding as well, which a lot of artists, I mean, they are able to sustain their work through whether that's public or private grant funding. So that can look like, you know, a certain funding body, whether that's the government, whether that's something private, that has a grant open that says, hey, if you have a cool project that's related to arts and culture, send us the sort of plan for it. Send us your vision for it, and we'll decide on how much money we can give you, or you can qualify for funding, or you can't qualify for funding. A lot of folks are dependent on that. And I think what she has seen post-pandemic especially is that folks are becoming more and more reliant on that funding, and a lot of the times that funding is, you know, the pot of funding that we're getting is not increasing, but the people applying for it are. So the demand is increasing, but the actual funds that they have aren't. Which makes it tougher, you know, when people really have these projects that they believe in that make them feel whole, that make, you know, bring value to the city. And then on top of that, you know, she mentioned, like, there's a housing crisis, you know, there's a cost of living crisis right now. People are really struggling to get by at all, let alone people who are in an even more precarious employment sector.
That's so true. And, you know, people are probably thinking, as, you know, they're listening to this conversation, you know, why are these kinds of spaces so important? I know one of the artists said a quote here that I thought was interesting, saying, you don't really need to conform to make good art. Can you expand on what she meant by that? Because I thought that was very fascinating.
Yeah, so that was a quote from Hallelujah Hailu, who is a really cool, like, indie, rock, pop, sort of everything in between artist. Based from Burnaby, but also does some work in Vancouver. And, you know, I think a lot of what they were talking about was being a young person going into spaces where they were the only young person and they were the only young woman of color. And I think for her, what was challenging is finding spaces where it feels like it's not just like that they can be in that space, but that she actually feels like she belongs in that space, like that space is created for her. And so instead of, you know, there's a really big, prominent, like, sort of indie alt pop punk rock scene that emerged in, like, the 80s and 90s in Vancouver, and it's quite white-dominated. And I think a lot of spaces now that we see, they still have those kind of, that centering around whiteness, or, you know, a lot of music that is played now at events, you know, you might see a hip-hop night, you might see an R&B night, and they're catered around, like, historically black music, but a lot of people who are black and a lot of, like, racialized people in general don't feel the most included there. So there's definitely a dissonance. And I think for her, what she was getting at was she can create the kind of music she wants to create. She can, you know, dress the way she wants to dress, be the exact kind of artist that she wants to be without conforming to the things that, you know, Vancouver has dominated in a really specific narrow lens. There's a way to exist beyond that. You just have to find your community.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating piece, Jeevan, as always. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. You take care.
Take care. Thank you.